We're here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. If you count down four lines from the top, you'll see the two dots. And we're up to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer about Sof Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis Ad Sof Hashmur Rishona Shel Laila. And as we mentioned in the past, we divide up the night into Mishmoros, into different segments, as you will. There are three different Mishmaros of the Laila. Each one is made up of 4 hours, so the end of the first third of the night is identical with 4 hours into the night, and that's, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the latest time for Kriyat Shema. Now, do we find in the Mikra, in the Tanakh itself, a source for dividing up the night into Ashmoros, into its various sections? And the answer is yes. Where do we find this? So if you open up to Shmos, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Chof Dalid, Vashmores HaBoker, obviously Ashmores HaBoker means one section, in this case the last of the segments of the Laila, before Boker. We also have a Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes, Kodmu Einai Ashmoros, which indicates that there are a number of Ashmoros, and Einai means my eyes that fall asleep and wake up. Now, with regard to this concept called Ashmoros, the etymological meaning of the word Ashmoros comes from the word Mishmara, or Mishmeres, which means a group that's in charge of a shift. Like, for example, in a hospital you have various shifts. So you have the night shift, the day shift. Within the night we can break up into shifts. And up in Shamayim, the Malachi Ashores are divided into shifts. And they do the Avoda, which is Lashir, to sing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, the singular of the word Mishmaros is generally Mishmeres. But in our Sugya, and in other Sugyas in Shas, the yochid is the singular of Mishmaros is not Mishmeres, but rather Mishmara or Mishmar, just by way of introduction. Now, the machlokas that we're about to learn in the Braisa, not here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, but on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, as to how many Mishmaros there are in the night, we've assumed until now that the night is divided into three Mishmaros. That's going to be the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. But Rebbe is of the opinion that the night is divided into four Mishmaros. Now, there's a difference between these two opinions with regard to a person who accepts upon himself a neder to study until the end of the first Ashmora. Or, for example, a person who takes upon himself to be a day laborer or night laborer, that's called Hiskir es Atzmo l'Melacha, and he identifies his period of obligation till the end of the Ashmora. Does he mean the end of the third hour, if there are four Mishmaros, dividing 12 into four, or does he mean to the end of the fourth hour, if there are only three Mishmaros? And that depends on the machlokas that we'll see later on between Rebbe, who holds four Mishmaros, and Rabbi Nosson, who holds three Mishmaros. The Gemara now wants to understand, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer mention an exact time for Zman Kriyat Shema? Why does he simply mention Ad Sof Ashmora Rishona? Which leaves us with a certain ambiguity. Mikasov, we really don't know what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Ikasov, does he hold Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Laila? He holds like the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. The night is divided into three segments, each made up of 4 hours. And in that case, Lema, he should have been absolutely crystal clear, Ad Arba Shalos, that you could read Kriyat Shema up to the end of the fourth hour. And if he holds like the opinion of Rebbe that there are four Mishmaros in the Laila, Lema, he should say ad shalosh, until the end of the third hour. So why does Rabbi Eliezer use a zman which is ambiguous, called atzof hashmor rishona, which can be understood in different ways? So the Gemara answers, liolam kasavar shalosh mishmaras havia laila. As we assumed until now, we can identify Rabbi Eliezer with Rabbi Nosson, that there are three mishmaros to the night, which would mean that ad sof hashmur rishoni would give us up to the fourth hour for hakam ashbalon. But Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell us a chiddush by, instead of saying ad arba shos, he tells us that there are mishmaros, and he wants to say that the end of the fourth hour is identical with the end of the first hashmorah. Is the Ikar, he wants to teach us mishmaros barakia, that just like down here we have different shifts and different time periods, there's also different shifts up in Shamayim amongst the Malachim, as we mentioned earlier. The Ikar mishmaros ba'ara, and corresponding to these different shifts of time up in Shamayim, there's also different shifts in time down here on earth. And with various simonim of when these mishmaros are changing, one is ending and the other is beginning, he'll be able to know by noticing these phenomenon as they manifest themselves, whether he's within the time for Kriyat Shema or he's beyond the time for Kriyat Shema. Now, according to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, the mishmaros on the land is a simon for the mishmaros in Shamayim. And Rabbi Eliezer is teaching us two chidushim. Number one, that there are mishmaros up in the Rakia, different shifts of Malachi Asharis. And there are, number two, there are corresponding shifts here on earth. However, there is another girs, apparently, of kamashmal and de'ika mishmaros bi'ara kihecha de'ika birakia. And you'll see a similar girs in the Shita Megubetzes, which means that it was crystal clear, we didn't need Rabbi Eliezer to mechadish, that there were mishmaros in the Rakia. Rabbi Eliezer's addition was that there are also mishmaros in the Aretz. And the Tosus Arash points out that you should not assume that Rabbi Eliezer was mechadish that there are mishmaros ba'aretz, because that doesn't teach us any halacha. The right girsa, the correct girsa, is kamashman de'ika mishmaros barakia. He wants to mechadish dafka the opposite of what we said before, that there are mishmaros up in Shamayim. And he's telling us that during these mishmaros up in Rakia, God Almighty, the Deity, is sitting and He's crying out during those hours, as we'll soon see. And therefore, a person down on earth should likewise synchronize his tsar and his daiga over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. He should be mispalel for the binyan Beis HaMikdash, kumi roni balayla l'rosh hashmoros. And now the Gemara is going to go into detail about the different mishmoros based on this brisa. Eliezer Omer Sholosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. The night is divided into three different mishmaros, and I'll call mishmaru mishmar, in corresponding to each one of these three mishmaros, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoi Kari. And Almighty God is sitting and He is letting out a roar like a lion. Again, the word mishmar, as we mentioned before, is a replacement for mishmara, which would have been the singular of ashmoros, or mishmoros. It seems that corresponding to each mishmar, each shift, or each group of malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is sitting at that time, Bosa Shah Shoeg Kari. And the language of Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which sounds anthropomorphic, as if God sits, should not be taken literally. And its meaning here in this context is that the roar is not done on a temporary basis, but rather on something that's permanent. Whenever you want to indicate permanence, you sit down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kaviyochel, overwhelmed by tzar of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that he sits down in a permanent way and lets out this roar. And this is all based, says Rabbi Eliezer, on a pasuk shenemar in the Nevuah of Yirmiyah on the Churban Beis HaMikdash in Perek Kafei of Yirmiyah, Hashem Mimarom, God in the upper world, Yishag, he's roaring, Umimaon Kodsho, from the place in which he lives, his Ma'on, Yiten Kolo, he lets his voice, raises his voice, Sha'og Yishag al Navehu, and he is roaring, he's crying out over Navehu. Navehu means his home, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And this is indicative of God's Avelus over the Churban HaBayis. And these different Lashonos, we saw Yishag, Sha'ug, Yishag, all of which are expressed by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, are meant to teach us that God is Shoeg three different times on each of the three Mishmaros. Now, Rav Haigon is quoted as saying that when Rabbi Elazar mentions Shoi Ke'ari, that is a symbol, because Shagat Ha'ari is a very, very powerful, a loud voice, and this is meant to generate a certain fear on others. The lion, when he leaves, lets out a roar, all the members of the jungle, the other animals, are overwhelmed with fear. And God's Shagah is meant to overwhelm the Goyim with fear, to indicate and reveal that He is still with Bnei Yisrael, even in the Golos. Now Rabbi Eliezer adds, Simon Ladovar, how do we know when one Mishmeres ends and the other begins? Mishmara Rishona, Chamor Noer. If you hear the neighing of a donkey, that goes on during the first Mishmeres, during those hours. Hashnia during the second is Klovim Tsoakim, and the dogs are barking. And finally, Shlishis, Tinok Yonek Mishtei Imo Ve'isha Misaperes Imbaila. Now it's interesting that if you notice in the first and the third, he uses the singular. He speaks about Chamor, that's one single Chamor. He speaks about a Tinok, or an Isha, in the third. But in the second, he speaks about Klovim Tzoakim, in the plural. And this caught the eye of some of the commentaries. And it means that in the case of the Chamor, in the first Hashmoros, you can rely on one single Chamor who's Noer, or one single in the third Tinok who is Yonek. But with regard to the middle Mishmar, you need Klovim Tzoakim. We don't rely on the semen if only one dog is barking, is crying out. Because perhaps he's crying out because he felt that you were coming along, you're an alien person. Maybe he was scared, he was afraid, he was caught off guard. But if a bunch of klovim, you know, the group, the whole group of klovim start crying out, that's a simon that you're in the second mishmaris. Now, the time that a man and a woman are speaking with each other is karov liyom, it's close to the daybreak. People then are already getting awakening from their sleep, and a man and a woman are sleeping together, they start speaking one to the other. The Ben Ish Chai explains that Isha Misaperes Imbaila, why is it she rather than he? Because it's more common for a woman to speak to her husband either because women in general are more expressive, they're more talkative, or because Dibur usually is about what's going on in the house, the woman is much more aware of what's going on in the house than he is, or because she is so proud of her children and she wants to praise them, and in so doing she finds favor in the eyes of her husband, and the husband is excited about raising the children, about pampering them and buying good gifts for them, supplies for them, and so forth and so on. The Gemara now asks, which part of the Mishmeres, or the Mishmara, is indicated by these simonim? My kachashiv, Rabbi Eliezer. Do these simonim of Chamor Noer and Klovim Tzoakim, Tinok Yonik, etc., are they indicative of the beginning of the Mishmaras or of the end of the Mishmaras? Now the Gemara raises a question, an objection. Itchilas Mishmaros Kachashiv. Is Tchilas Mishmar Rishona Simon Lomeli? Why would Rabbi Eliezer need a Simon for the beginning of the first Simon? Urtahu. That's exactly identical with the beginning of the night, the time of Tzeisa Kochavim. It's clear to everyone when that time is. You don't need a Simon. V'isof Mishmaras Kochash. But if he's telling us the end of the Simon, of the end of the Mishmaras, why did Rabbi Eliezer feel compelled to give us a Sof Mishmar Achrona, which was the Isha Mesaperes, the Tinok Yonek, Lomali Simon Yamamahu? Everybody sees that the sun has arisen on the horizon. It's after the sun has broken through. We know exactly when the last Mishmara ends. Why do we need a Simon to help us identify that time period? Now you could say that these simonim take us from the beginning of the Mishmara till the end of the Mishmara, but that would mean that during the entire first Mishmara the Chamor is Noer, etc., etc. That's very difficult. And furthermore, if that would be the case, he wouldn't need the middle Mishmara, because it would be enough if there was no first Mishmara, no last Mishmara, no first Siman and not last Siman. That would itself indicate that we're in the middle Mishmara. So the Gemara answers, there's no question that these Simanim are different. There's not one uniform understanding of the Simanim. Ela Chashiv Sof Mishmar Rishon, Tchilas Mishmar Achronov, Emtzayis, Emtzayisa. Rabbi Eliezer is calculating the simonim of the end of the first Mishmara, the beginning of the last Mishmara, and the middle of the middle Mishmara, which is what we call Chatzos Laila, which is midnight. And that's when the Klovim are crying out, the barks of the 101 Dalmatians. Now, why do we need a simon for the middle of the middle Mishmaras, which is Chatzos HaLaila? And the answer is that there are certain dinim that depend upon Chatzos. In our Mishnah, we already have one sheet of that. The Chachom say the end of Zman Kriyat Shema is identical with Chatzos HaLaila. So we have to identify Chatzos HaLaila for halachic purposes. But as far as the Mishmar Rishona, the Achrona, we don't need any simon for the middle of that mishmar, because it has no chashivas, no significance whatsoever. Now the Gemara here seems to indicate that there are special meanings to each one, respectively, of the three zmanim that Rabbi Eliezer identified: the simonim, meaning the sof mishmar rishona, the beginning of the third mishmara, and the middle of the middle mishmara. And the Tosa Rosh says that these three zmanim are very relevant for the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen on the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf says on every day, on a daily basis, they were Torem, the Trumas Hadeshen, from the moment of the beginning of the Ashmara Shlishis. Whereas on Yom Kippur, they embarked upon the Trumas Hadeshen Dafket Chatzos. But on the Regolim, the Shlosh Regolim, they began the Trumas Hadeshen at the end of the first Mishmora. And now he's mentioning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at those times that the people, the Kohanim, were Mishamshim, Lefon of Beis HaMikdash, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Kaviyachal is no Simcha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he's showing Kari. Now this Simon of Midnight, in the middle of the middle Mishmeres, the Rashba writes, is that Tan is going to give a Simon, because that's the end of the Zman Achilas Kodshim, which is Ad Chatzos. The Magen Avraham writes that that Simon of Chatzos Laila is considered an Eis Ratzon, and that midnight is the time period that we should be davening, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept that Tfilos on high. But now the Gemara offers another reconciliation. Kula Sof Mishmaras Kachoshev. All the Simonim of Rabbi Eliezer, of the Chamar, and the Klovim, and the Tinok Yonek, this is all at the end of each of the three Mishmaros. V'chi Teimen, if you'll say, Hachrodo Lo Tzarech, our objection was, why do we need a Simon when everybody sees daybreak? I don't need to know when is daybreak. Is L'mayinaf Gemina, why should Rabbi Eliezer supply a Simon for the Sof Hashmura Achrona? And the answer is, L'mikrei Kriyat Shema, we're referring here to Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, Leman de Goni Bebeis Ofel. Let's say he's davening in a very closed room and he doesn't really know when is the beginning of day. Lo Yoda Zman Kriyat Shema Emas. Can he recite Kriyat Shema? Can he not? And once he becomes aware of these simonim of either Isha Misaperis in Bailo or Tinok Yonik Mishtei Imo, at that point he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. And that's what the Gemara calls Lekum Velikri. He can get up out of bed and he can recite Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, and he doesn't have to be afraid that maybe it's not yet daybreak. And the Noda Behuda makes a comment here, and he says that that's why the Gemara brings the Simon in the opposite order. Namely, first it says Tinok Yonek, and then it says Isha Misaperes. The Gemara says that Isha comes before Tinok. And that's a pretty funny kind of discrepancy between the two. And his answer is that he offers the following explanation. The Siman for the end of the third Mishmar is only valid when two things happen, and in the very meticulous order as recorded in the Braisa. First is Tinok Yonek, and then Isha Misaperes in Baila. Why? Because the beginning of this period of time, when you wake up from your sleep, is when the Tinok is pulling, he wants the nurse, or she wants the nurse. The end of the Mishmeres HaShlishis is identical, corresponds to the moment that the child is hungry and begins his suckling. As a result, the woman wakes up and she begins to speak to her husband. And that explains why the Braisa begins with Isha Misaperes. I'm sorry. The Braisa ends with Isha Misaperes in Baila, and not Ish Misaperim Isha, as we asked earlier, because she's going to initiate the conversation because the child has woken her up. Here, our Gemara is talking about a person who's sleeping in a dark room and begins with Isha and then goes on to Tino, because generally speaking, if a person is sleeping, he won't wake up from the voice, the sound of Yenikas HaTinok, but rather from the sound of a woman who is speaking with her husband. That's what's going to wake him up first. So therefore we start with Isha Misaperes in Baila. Now we go on to a clarification of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel in the name of Rav, that Sholosh Mishmaras Havi Alayla called Mishmar Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoei Kari V'Yomer. What exactly is the content, asks Rabbi Yitzchak, of the Shagas HaRi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on each one of these three Mishmaros? What is the substance? What is in that roar? Oy lebanim shebavanoseihem echravti es besi, visarafti es heicholi, vigleisim levein umos haolam. There are three elements here that make up the cry of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and specifically, number two, it's the burning of the Heichal. And the question that all the Mefarshim ask here, from the Rishonim down, is why do we need these two, Hechravti as Beisi and Sarafti as Heicholi? They seem to be synonymous. And finally, Higlesim, I sent my children, my nation, my chosen nation, into Golis, into exile amongst the nations of the world. Amongst the various explanations about the difference between Hechravti as Beisi and Sarafti as Heicholi, we'll mention that the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, the first, is called by the name Beisi, the second Beis HaMikdash is called Heicholi, and alternatively, it could be that Beisi is a reference to Yerushalayim that was destroyed. Heichal is specifically the Beis HaMikdash. Beisi is Churba, and Yerushalayim was Nechrava. Heichal is Sreifa. The Beis HaMikdash was burnt. And finally, the Prima Gadim says that both of these phrases are reflective of the Beis HaMikdash. First, it was Nechrav, which means that the Shekhinah removed itself from the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Churban. And finally, the physical destruction of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Oy shechravti es beisi v'sarafti es heicholi v'gleisi es bonai lebeina umos. Our Girsa has the word oy lebonim with an ed of avanoseihem. However, the original Girsa is Oy shehechravti, and the Gemara means Oy lahem l'rishoyim shebiglal avanoseihem sarafti esicholi iglesi esbonai, which means that I meted out punishment to everyone, even the ksherim, and amongst the umos haolam. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Omer Rav Yosi, Pam Achas Hayisi Mahalach Baderech, V'Nichnasti L'Churva. I entered into some sort of a house that was falling apart, a dilapidated house that was about to fall, and we'll soon see it was a dangerous place for Rav Yosi to enter into. But he went in there, into one of the Churvas Yerushalayim L'Spalel, to find a quiet area where he could concentrate and focus on his tefillos. Bo Elio, Soch Latov, Elio, Anovi came, Vishomar, and he waited for me on the Pesach, on the threshold of this churva, Achesiyamti tefilosi. He didn't want to interrupt me in the middle of my tefillah, even though, as we'll see, Elio objected to what Rabbi Yossi had done, but nevertheless, once he began to be mispalel, meaning Rabbi Yossi was in the midst of his tefillah, Elio would wait until his tefillah had ended. And Liachar Sesiamti Tfilasi Omar, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. I turned to Elio and I said, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Of course, the question is, why wasn't Rabbi Yossi Makdim Shalom Elio? It seems like Omar Li, the language of the Gemara, seems to indicate that he said to me, which means that it's Elio turns to Rabbi Yossi, this appella, and he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Why didn't Rabbi Yossi begin by saying Shalom to Elio? And the answer apparently is that Rabbi Yossi was standing in such fear, he was literally shuddering, shaking in front of Elio and Navi, as a Talmud who takes his steps backwards in the presence of his Rebbe when he wants to take leave. And Rabbi Yossi didn't have the Ozis Punim, that chutzpah to say Shalom Aleichem to Elio and Navi. And perhaps we could also add that Elio that Rabbi Yossi wanted to check out, is he really on that level that Elio would actually say shalom to him? He waited to see. Amarti lo, shom alecha Rabbi Umori. And the Ben Yoyada says that Rabbi Yossi added to Elio Anovi Umori because of the kavod when somebody responds to the Rebbe, he should say Rebbe Umori. Why did you go in here? Omar Tilo, Rabbi Yossi says, Lispalel to Davin. Omar Li, Hoyelichol Lispalel Bederech. You should have davened outside the Churva. Omar Tilo, Misioria, Yisi Shemayaf Sikubi, Ovi Drachim. I was afraid that those who would pass by would interfere and I would not be able to concentrate on my tefillah. The Omar Li said, Hoyelichol Lispalel tefillah Ktsara. You should have remained outside the churva rather than enter in, and you should have rather prayed a short, abridged version of tefillah, which is called Havinenu, as Rashi explains, and this is also the final conclusion of Tosus Divrei Maskil Hoya, that's the fourth Tosus down on the page, which means that you recite the first three brachos of Shmon Esrei, the last three brachos, as they are standard, and in the middle you have one bracha called Havinenu, which has a quick synopsis of all the brachos that feels Hem Tzoyos. And the Gemara later on in Chavtes explains exactly what feels Havinenu is. Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Ladas Drachecha Molas Lavenu Lirasecha Tislach Lonu, etc., etc. Tosus initially wanted to assume that the Gemara did not have in mind Havinenu, but rather what's called a Tefillah Ksara, and that's a sugya later on in Daf Chav Tes, Tzarchei Amcha Merubim. But Tosus rejects this because he holds that you should not say this, the Tefillah, you should not recite Tzarchei Amcha Merubim unless it's a real serious sakona. A Makom Shodidim. Rabbi Yossi was not in a Makom Sakona of Shodidim. He hid himself away in this churva. In any event, Rabbi Yossi asked, Elio asked Rabbi Yossi, why did you go into the churva? It could be that this is a makom sakon. Rabbi Yossi answered, no, he went in because he thought the schus of tefillah would protect him from any sakona. And Elio Anovi responded to him, no, we don't go and expose ourselves to a makom sakona lispalel. You could have been mispal baderech, meaning outside the churva, a tefillah ktsara. And Rabbi Yossi summarizes three laws that he derived from Elio Anovi. V'osa shah lamadati mimenu shlosha dvarim. What does he mean, v'osa shah? You get the impression that Rabbi Yossi would encounter Elio Anovi on a regular basis. He learned from him many different things. Here are the three things that he learned at that moment. Now, in general, how do we derive halachas from Elio Anovi? We have a principle called Losh Bashamayim Hi. And the answer is, if Elio says it b'tars nevuah, then he cannot be mechadish new halachas based on nevuah and prophecy. But here he's saying something that he heard from other chachamim. So this was a mesores of Talmidei chachamim, not a mesores based on nevuah. Some say that Elio comes to be machria against the Mishnah or a Braisa, or as a yochid against a rabbim. In that case, we don't listen to him. But if we have no other opinions, then we will listen to Elio Anovi. That's not called Chidush Dovar. And others say, this is Chassam Sofer, that since Elio appeared Begufo Mamish as a physical being, you could learn from him. The first halacha that he learns from Elio is Lamaiti Cheinich Nosim L'Churva. We don't go into a churva. That's Asur. And we're going to have a number of explanations as to why you're not letting it into a churva. Number two, lamadati shemispalalim baderech, that there is such a thing as davening on the road, even though you're exposed to all sorts of interruptions. However, number gimel is lomadeti shamispal b'derech is mispal tefila ketzara, that if he is availing himself of this license to daven outside in an open area, then he must daven a tefila ketzara, so the people going by would not interrupt him. Amar Li. Now, the end of the story, Elio turns to Rav Yossi, says, Bini, my son, Ma kol shamata bechur v'zu? What did you hear? Elio already knew that he heard some sort of voice. Rav Yossi heard a voice inside the chur v'amarti lo. Rav Yossi tells him in response, Shamati baskol shemenahemes, which means to wail. Kiyona, like a dove. V'omeres oy lebonim shebavanoseyem hechravti es beisi v'saravti es hecholi v'glesim lebein ha'umos. That my children, my sons, have sinned, and as a result, I had to do those three things that we mentioned earlier. It's interesting that here the story doesn't mention Shagas Hari of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds like Kol Yona. And the Marsha tries to explain the difference between the two. And we'll see if we have time at the end of the Shia to mention the Marsha. The Amar Li, Elio responds with the language of a Shvua, an oath, Chayecha v'chay roshecha, Lo shazu bilvado meres kach el b'chol yom v'yom sholosh pamo meres kach. That the Shekhinah cries out with this voice not once, and not just at this hour, but on a regular basis, daily, three times a day. And those are the three times that correspond to the three mishmaros and the shagas hari that we spoke about earlier, three times a day. And maybe in this chus, we will be zocha to the geula. V'lo zu bilvad, Elio continues. Not only that, in other words, not only at these three moments of tefillah, but rather at every time they come in, b'chol shas yisrael nichnasim lebeit batei knesios lebatei midrashos v'omrim v'onim yehei shmei HaGadol Mevorach, we have Yeshmei Rabba Mevorach, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menanea Rosho, he nods his head as an expression of Tsar, V'omer Ashrei HaMel Shemekalsen Oso Bebeso Kach. How fortunate is a king whose people will laud and praise him and sing for him in his own palace. And when the Beis HaMikdash was alive and well, this was the kilus that could be heard in the Beis HaMikdash. And Malo li'av shehiglas bono ve'oylem lebonim shegolom yal shulchan avihem. In other words, now I'm a king, but I don't have a palace, and the song of praise cannot be heard in the bayis in Basi. I have sent my children into Golus, and therefore woe to a king who doesn't have the ability to receive his praises in his own house, in his own Beis HaMikdash. And Oylem Labonim Shegolim Yal Shulchan Avim. Again, this is a question whether there is such a girsa or not. But in any event, the Kavana is Shulchan Avim is the Beis HaMikdash. Woe is it to the children who no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, where they would eat from the Karbonos Al Shulchan Avim. Now we get to a bit of a challenging sugi about why it's us to go into a churva. Tana Rabbanim, Neishlosha Dvarim Ein Nichnasim L'churva. There are three different issues that are very problematic in a churva. Number one, mitnei chashad, people think that he went in there to have a maisa's nus. That's not a place where people go in unless they're involved in immorality. Number two, mitnei amapolis, there's a sakana that this very weak, dilapidated house could collapse over his head. And number three, mipnei mazikin, because the shadim go into a place which is uninhabited, and they haunt that place. And the Gemara says, why do we need that first explanation of mipnei chashad, typically mishum mapoles? Wouldn't it be enough if we said that there's a danger? Why do you have to say that there's chashad? And the Gemara says, and here we're on to Gimel and Beis, Bechadati, that we're talking about a churva which is relatively new, and the walls of the churva were a little bit weak, and ilu shalom niflu em chadoshim v'chazokim v'ein chashash yiplu, that even if in such a case of a chadati, we don't really have a serious fear that the walls will collapse. But the Bryce says, nevertheless, you don't go in there, even though there's no chashash of apolis, there's a chashash of chashad. People might suspect him of znus. The Gemara asks a question, typically mishum mazikin. Why shouldn't the explanation of the mazikin that are there, the shadim that are there, that haunt that place, that should be enough to generate a prohibition? So the Gemara says, betray. If you go in two people and you're not alone, then we have a principle that there's no chashash of mazikin with two people. And the Braisa says, nevertheless, even if there's no chashash of mazikin, there still is a chashash of another sort. So the Gemara asks, what is the chashash? I betray. Is chashad nami leka? There shouldn't be any chashad. He didn't go in there alone. If a man is misyached alone in a private place with two women, the Mishnah says that, I'm sorry, two men with one woman, that's okay. That's at the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin says that that's okay. He would be embarrassed to do an immoral act in the presence of his friend. And the Gemara answers, betray upritzi. We're talking about two people who are not on a high moral level, and therefore one is not embarrassed of the other. And therefore there's a chashad here when they go into a churva, even if it's a churva chadasha, and even though it's two people, there's no chashash mazikin, and there's no chashash of mapolis, but we have to worry about chashad of znus in the presence of two prutzim. Now the Gemara asks, why do we need that extra chashash mishum mapoles, typically mishum chashoda and mazikin? Wouldn't it be enough just to have these two reasons of chashad and mazikin? And the Gemara answers, betray uksheri. Let's say we have two people, and we're not worried about mazikin, and the two uksherim, and if we're not worried about yichud and a chashash of chashad d'znus, but what we are going to be afraid of is mapolis, if it's an older churva. The Gemara now asks the following question: why do we need that third explanation of mazikin? Typically, mipnei chashad umapolis. If we had both chashad and mapolis, it would seem to be superfluous to add mazikin. And the answer is bechurva. The churva kadati, you betray ksheri. If it's a relatively new churva, we're not afraid of mapolis. And if there are two people who are ksheri, we're not afraid of a chashad of znus. The Braisa says, nevertheless, it's asur because of mazikin. So Gemara immediately asks, I betray, if you have two ksherim, then how can there be a chashash mazikin? Mazikin abi leka, there's no chashash mazikin of the two people. And the answer is, bimkoman. that there are places that are designated for mazikin. That's where they hang out. And in such a place, it's called shchichi mazikin. There are plenty of mazikin. They'll be there even if two people enter into the churva. So the Gemara offers a second explanation as to why we need a chashash, why we have a chashash mazikin. Ibois ema li olam b'chad. Maybe we're talking about one person. Ubechurva chadati. And it's a relatively new, it's a relatively new area, a new churva. But the koi b'davra, it's out there in the fields or in the wilderness, outside of the urban centers. Hasam mishum chashad leka to isha b'davra lo shchicha. There aren't too many women out there in the fields, in those private areas, and therefore there's no chashash of znus. There's no chashash of mapoles if it's relatively new. Mishum mazikin ika, but the mazikin will inhabit those areas outside the urban centers, and that's where there'll be a chashad that would require that we avoid entering into such a place. Rabbanan, about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, quoting in Tosefta at the beginning of Brachos, Arba Mishmar Savi Alayla. This is another sheet of Rebbe against the sheet that we've been operating with, that the night is indeed, according to Rebbe, divided into 4 segments. And that means that there are 4 different groups of malachim who serve in sequence to recite Shir in front of Hashem during the course of the night. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Nosan Omer Sholosh. That there are only 3 mishmaros. The night is divided into 3. My time at Rabbi Nosan. The Gemara starts by asking, why does Rabbi Nosan insist that the night is divided only up into 3? Tichsiv, because in the war of Gidon against Midian in Shoftim Perek Zion, it says, Vayavo Gidon, Umeah Ish Asher Ito B'Ktzea Machaneh, Rosh Hashmores Hatichona. In other words, he comes to the end, the Ktzea Machaneh, at the beginning of the middle Mishmeres. And Tana, we learned in a Tosefta, Ein tichona el k'sheyesh lefonel lachreo. That the word tichona, the middle one, means that there's one before it and one after it. So we must derive the conclusion that the night is divided into 3 segments. Sholosh mishmaros. Gidon came at the beginning of the 2nd mishmara, which is the middle of the 3 mishmaros. So the Gemara asks for Rebbe, what is Rebbe who holds that the night is divided into 4 segments? How is he going to interpret this pasuk? And the Gemara answers, "My tichona." What does the word tichona mean? It's a reference to the mishmares tichona shebet tichonis, shebet tichonos. It's one of the 2 of the middle mishmaros. In other words, you don't have to say that it's referring to the single middle mishmares, but rather there are 2 mishmaros that are called the middle mishmaros. And those are referred to in the pasuk as the tichono or the tichonos, and both of them are wedged in between the 1st mishmara and the last mishmara. And the kavanah, the meaning, and the intention of this verse is that Gidon came to the ktzea machneh at the beginning of one of these 2 middle mishmaros. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Nosson, what is he going to answer? How is he going to respond to this claim of Rebbe that there are 2 tichonos, not just 1? And the Gemara answers, Miksiv, does the pasuk say Rosh Hashmoras tichona shebet tichonos, the middle of the 2 middle ones? It says tichona, and that would indicate that there's 1 middle one, which means there's 1 before, 1 after. It means the night is divided into 3 mishmoros. My time at the Rebbe, what's the source? What led Rebbe to his conclusion that we should divide up the night into 4 mishmaros? Om Rav Zrika, Om Rav Ami, Om Rav Yishuv, and Levi Ksiv. One pasuk says, pasuk echad omer chatzos laila. This is a pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, chatzos laila akum. David declares that he will wake up in the middle of the night, lehodos loch al mishpatei tzidkecha, to thank you for the wonderful righteous laws that you have given us. And that means b'chatzos laila. Kosev echad omer, but another pasuk says, and this is also in Perek Kuf Yutes, Kidmu Einai Ashmuros, that David HaMelech got up from his sleep when there were two Mishmaros left to the Laila. HaKetzad. One end it sounds like midnight. On the other end it sounds like he woke up before two Mishmaros, which would be irreconcilable if you hold like Rabbi Nosson that the night is divided into three Mishmaros. But if you hold that Arba Mishmaros Haval Laila, that the night is made up of four Mishmaros, then David HaMelech says he woke up at Chatzos, and he still had another two Mishmaros to go. Rabbi Nosson, the Gemara, asks the Kasha, how would Rabbi Nosson, who holds that the night is divided into three Mishmaros, how will he respond to this raya, this proof that Rebbe adduces from the reconciliation of the Stira Lechor from the two Psukim in Perek Kuf Yutes in Tehillim? What will be his counter argument? So Rabbi Nosson, Sovrala ki Rabbi Yoshua. He holds like Rabbi Yoshua in a Mishnah later on, a Daf Tesam in Beis, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, the Zman of Kriyas Mashal Shachris is Ad Shalosh Shos, to the end of one third of the day, or shall we say the end of the third hour of the day, that would be more precise. The Gemara seems to indicate that he means the beginning of the third hour of the day, but l'halacha we paskin according to that opinion that you can read Kriyat Shema until the end of the third hour. That's in Hilchas Kriyat Shema Siman Nun Ches. Shekein derech malachim, it's common for the kings or the bnei malachim, some have the girsa, lamod mimitasam v'shalashos, they wake up after the third hour of the day, so it's still called uvekumecha. Later on the Mishnah, Daf Tesam and Beis, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, and he holds that we don't derive any conclusions from the zman of kimas hamalachim, but rather the Zman of Kriyat Shema of Shachris ends with Hanetzachama. So the Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara say about Rabbi Nosson, Sovralok Rabbi Yeshua, that we're talking only about the time of Kimas HaMalachim, which Rabbi Yeshua quotes, and Ein Bekach Machlokes Klal, meaning all we have to do is borrow from Rabbi Yeshua this concept of Zman of Kimas HaMalachim. We don't have to go into detail about the Sovralok Rabbi Yeshua, that he accepts the Ishita of Rabbi Yeshua, that the latest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris is Shal Shos. I mean, we just have to borrow one point from Rabbi Yeshua. In any event, since Shekein Derech Malachim Lama B'Shal Shos, since David would wake up at Chatzos, whereas the other Malachim would get up after 2 hours into the day, then if we come to calculate exactly how many hours David would wake up before the other kings would wake up, Shista Laila, right, from Chatzos, which is splits the night right in half, until daybreak would be 6 hours, V'od Tarti D'Yamama, and add to that 2 hours of the day when the Malachim get up, is Havilah, if we add those two together, 6 plus 2, we get 8 hours, and that's Shtei Mishmaros. So let's just see, according to the Shita of Rabbi Nosson, that the night is divided into three Mishmaros, each Mishmaros is made up of 4 hours, then if you add 6 to 8, then you calculate Shtei Mishmaros. And therefore David says, Kodmu Einai Ashmaros, because he woke up before the Malachim by two Mishmoros. So there's no stira between the two psukim of Chatzos Laila Akum and Kodmu Einai Ashmoros, because in fact he did wake up at Chatzos, but he was Makdim, the other Malachim, by a total of 8 hours. 6 hours from Chatzos until daybreak, and another 2 hours at the beginning of the day is 8 hours. That's the equivalent of two Mishmoros, and therefore Kodmu Einai Ashmoros. Rav Ashi offers another answer to defend Rabbi Nosson. In truth, from the moment that David woke up, it was Chatzos Laila until Boker, it's only one Mishmeres. And you have to add another Chatzi Mishmeres. Because again, according to Rav Nosson, that the night is divided into three Mishmaros. Each Mishmaro consists of 4 hours. So the 6 hours from Chatzos until daybreak is the equivalent of a Mishmara Umechtza of 4 plus 2 is 6. Mishmara Upalga Nami Mishmaros Karula. That the reason why David says Kodmu Einai Ashmoros, and he refers to two Mishmoros, is not the way Rebbe would have it, because the night is divided into 4 sections, but rather because 1.5 Mishmeres is considered like rounding off to 2 Mishmoros. He has to use the Lashon Rabbim to refer to the Ashmoros. The Gemara now quotes another statement in this tradition, this chain of Rabbi Zrika, in the name of Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we had that chain earlier, and now we're going to have the same chain, or the same train of transmission that we had earlier. So a few lines earlier, the Gemara quoted this chain in order to understand the Shita of Rebbe, that the night is divided into 4 Mishmoros. So now the Gemara quotes a halacha from the same chain that really doesn't belong here to our parak, belongs to the third parak. And that is a halacha in Hilchas Loig L'Rush, what's called. Let's explain. Ein Omrim Bifnei HaMes El Edvarav Shel Mes. In the presence of the body of the dead, as we'll explain later, we don't speak about anything except something that's related to the Mes itself. The Gemara explains why. Omer Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Lo Amoron El B'Divrei Torah. It's a bizoyon to speak divrei Torah in front of the mess, other than, let's say, the halachas of hesped or tzosa mess or kfura. But other than that, this indicates other chiyuvim. It's a bizoyon for the mess that he is not included, and this is called, as Rashi quotes the pasuk of Mishlei, loig l'rosh cheref oseu. This is an insult to the rush, to the poor person, to the dead, that he's not part of the enterprise of Talmud Torah. Aval mili di alma, says Rabbi Abba, this prohibition of loig l'rush, of the bizayon, that the mess cannot speak the Rei Torah, that's only b'mili di Talmud Torah, but b'mili di alma, if you're talking about Glatton the Felt, things that are relevant to mundane life, Leslan Ba, that's not considered a bizayon for the mess, because you're not pointing out what he is not capable of speaking when he, you know, he's not any Yochel Dabra Dvarim Elu, which he would want to speak. That's only appropriate for Divrei Torah. But Ika Diamre, now we have a second opinion, Om Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, a whole different tradition in Rabbi Abba, that lo amarin ella afilu b'divrei Torah v'kolshken b'mili di alma. Now here it's a question whether you read the word afilu or not. The chiddush here is that afilu b'divrei Torah, we shouldn't even speak divrei Torah, even though it's a mitzvah, in the presence of the mess, because of loig l'rosh. How much more so mili di alma, things that belong to the world that are not relevant to Torah, which is not a mitzvah to speak, how much more so we shouldn't be speaking about them in the presence of the mess. And the only exception is in yonim that are relevant to the mess, which are hesped, kfura, etc. Now, according to the second version of Rabbi Amo Bar Kahana, in the case of Mili di Alma, it's a bizayon to the mess, not because of Loig LaRosh, but because we should be respectful of the fact that the mess, anything that's relevant to the mess, should be uppermost and urgent on our minds, and not to distract ourselves with things that are totally, totally irrelevant. Now, the Lashon of our Gemara, El Afilu B'Divrei Torah, is a little bit unclear. Many do not have the girsa of Afilu, just Lo Nitzcha El L'Divrei Torah. Now, our Gemara has a girsa Lo Amaran El B'Divrei Torah V'Kolshke B'Mili Di Alma. Now, what do you mean when you say Lo Amaran, if you take out the word Afilu, El B'Divrei Torah, and then you say Kolshke B'Mili Di Alma? It sounds like a contradiction. Min Eube. Because when you say Ein Lo Amaran Ela B'Divrei Torah, it's mashma that you're only prohibiting Divrei Torah. But then it says Kol Shkei D'Mili V'Alma, how much more so Mili V'Alma, Dvar B'Telim are prohibited. And perhaps we could explain in the following way, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had in mind when he said Ein Omrim B'Fnei Mes Ela Dvar Shel Mes, that it's mutter to speak in the presence of the mess, dvarim sha'omar ha'mes atzmo b'chayev, something that the mess himself spoke about during his lifetime. And therefore, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, according to the two Lashonis that we have, says that since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi permitted to speak about the mess himself, then it means that Lo Amaran Ela B'Divrei Torah, he speaks about Amira B'Divrei Torah in the presence of the mess, that Ha'omer Divrei Torah, Sha'omer HaMes B'Chayav, if he's only saying over the Torah that he heard from this departed during his lifetime, that's not called Loig LaRosh, because we have a principle of Gemara Yevamos on Tzadi Zayin, that Tzvosov Shel Mes Dovros B'Kever. But once you spoke about Divrei Olam, which was said by the mess, then we don't have this heter because it's not Svasov Dovros B'Kever. The machlokas between the two Lashonos revolves around the following question: why did Rabbi Shimon Levi speak about Divrei Torah? And the answer is that according to the first Lishon, at least, the Iser is restricted to Divrei Torah that are spoken in front of the mess. According to the second Lishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mentions Divrei Torah in order to be Mechadesh, that even in Divrei Torah there's an Isur B'fnei HaMes, and how much more so B'Shar Dvarim. So therefore, when we read the second Lishnah as Lo Amara, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did not speak Ela B'Divrei Torah, it means that's Mutal Adabim B'Dvarim Sh'omer HaMes B'Chayov, those Divrei Torah which the mess himself said you're allowed to transmit it in front of the mess. Kolshken, how much more so shall also lidaver b'mili b'dialma b'divrei mess, because there's no inyan of svasov dovros b'kever. Now the Gemara wants to analyze Dovin HaMelech who woke up at Chatzos. What exactly happened? The Gemara asks v'David b'palga d'leila v'koi. Are you really telling me that when it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, we mentioned it earlier, Chatzos Laila Akum, that means that David got up at Chatzos Laila? Elsewhere, it seems from David HaMelech's statement in the same chapter in Tehillim, Me'orta Avikoi, that when it was still the beginning of the night, he would wake up. Tchsiv, it says, Ki damti baneshef ve'ashaveya. That David HaMelech says that he was makdim and he got up at the beginning of the night before other people woke up. And at that point, he was tzoek b'tefillah lifnei Hashem. He cried out in supplication in front of the Almighty. So the Gemara is now going to clarify its question. What is the stira here? Mimai dahai neshef ortahu. How do I know that the word neshef means early in the night, the beginning of the night? And the answer is dechsiv, because it says in Mishlei, b'neshef b'erev yom v'ishon laila v'afela. And the pasuk means that at the time of neshef, which is erev hayom, which means at the beginning of the night, which is called b'yom shemachshir alayla, when it begins to get dark, and that's called neshef, it must be that that's the beginning of the night. So how could David HaMelech say, Ki damti b'neshef v'ashaveya, I woke up early in the night to cry out to God, when David himself says that I woke up chatzos laila akum et chatzos laila? And the Gemara offers three different answers to reconcile this apparent contradiction. First, we start with Rav Oshia, the name of Rav Acha. Then when it says chatzos laila akum, it doesn't mean that he woke up from his sleep. Elohachi kamer, this is what David means. May olam lo avra lai chatzos laila b'shena. That I never slept past midnight. I was always awake sometime before midnight. And on normal occasion, he would get up at the beginning of the night. But whatever it was, even if you have to sleep a little later, and it was past Neshev, it was never past the end line, the end zone was Chatzos Laila. Rabbi Zeroff is another answer. Omar, Ad Chatzos Laila, up until Chatzos Laila, he was learning Torah. And what was his state of being when he was learning Torah? Misnamnem kisus. He was partially sleeping, but he wasn't really asleep. He would wake up at every moment, and that was until Chatzos. Mikan v'yela, from Chatzos and on, Hayim Eskaber Kari, then he stood up out of his bed, and that's when he says Chatzos Laila Okum. Then he was Miskaber Kari Legamre. Now, exactly how does that reconcile with the Pasuk Ashaveya, which is a Lashon Tefillah? Here it seems that David HaMelech is waking up early because of Torah. And when it says that he woke up at Neshef, it means he began to wake up. He was still in a state of Misnamnim. And it's only at the point of Chatzos that he jumped out of bed. He was on 2 feet, Misgaber Kari, for the purpose of studying Torah. But yet the Pasuk indicates Vashaveya. So one answer that's offered to this apparent question is based on what the Gemara says later on about Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that he was mispalel when he entered into the Beis HaKnesses, shel ya'aber, shel yarad lo davar takol al yado. And when he left the Beis HaMedrash, he was no saying hoda al chelko. So David says, kadamti b'neshef ha'shavea, which means tefillah. That's the tefillah before the lima. That's the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. After Chatzos, he would give hoda on his chelek, and therefore he says, Chatzos laila akum lahodas l'chol mishpatei tzidkecha. The third answer is Ravashi, Omar. Ad Chatzos laila hoya osek v'divrei Torah. Mikan v'yelef b'shiros v'sish bachos. The night was divided into two halves. The first half was Divrei Torah, and the second was Shiros V'Tishbachos. So when the Pasuk says, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos L'chol Mishpatei Tzidkecha, it doesn't mean that that's when he woke up from his sleep, but rather when that's when he made a shift, and instead of Limud Torah, he began to be Osek in Shiros V'Tishbachos. So when he says Chatzos Laila Akum, that's because in the first half of the night he was Osek Be'iyun HaTorah, and in that sense, he was able to study in a state of miyushav, but from Chatzia Laila, the second half of the night, he was Osek B'shiros B'shpach, when he was not miyushav, but rather he was B'amida, and he stood up to sing the praises of Hashem. Come Lahodos al Mishpatei Hashem means he would thank Hashem for that which he learned previously during the first half of the night. According to Rav Ashi, when it says Lahodos Lecha, it's very Midugdak. According to the Amoraim that came before Rav Ashi, the first two answers, this Lashon is a reference to Limud Torah. And Lahodos Lecha means Limud Torah. The Gemara now asks a very basic question. V'neshef ortu, you had a pasuk to prove to you that neshef means the beginning of the night. Ha'nefesh neshef tzafra, who I'm going to prove to you from another pasuk, that neshef is a word that's used to refer to day, to daytime, to the morning. The siv, in the context of the battle of David against Amalek, who had burnt up the city of Tzaklag in Shmuel Aleph Perek Lamed, it says Vayakem David me'aneshef v'yada erev l'machrasam, that David was smiting, he was defeating Amalek from neshef until the erev, which means from the morning when David encamped with his soldiers until the evening. Is my lav, doesn't it mean that the word neshef means mitzafra v'yad alayla, from morning until night? Neshef means tchilas hayom, not the way we said it, that it means tchilas alayla. Me'urta v'yad urta. What David HaMelech was intending to say was that he would be makeh, he would smite and battle against Amalek me'urta v'yad urta, from the beginning of the night, the first night, until the beginning of the second night. And neshef really means the beginning of the night. Ihachi, the Gemara says that if neshef and erev are synonymous terms, and the pasuk means mitchilas halayla v'atchilas halayla, then lichtov, it should have said me'a nefesh v'yad ha'neshef, or me'a erev v'yad ha'erev. It shouldn't have said me'a neshef v'yad ha'erev, from one time T1 till time T2, if they both are identical, it must be that Neshef is not the same as Erev, but rather it means Boker. And that would mean that David HaMelech meant to say that he was Makeh Amalek from Boker until Erev, from daybreak until evening. So if this be the case, we're still left with a contradiction between two Psukim, because if Neshef means in fact Boker, it says, V'neshef ha'erev yom v'isham layla v'afela. We had a pasuk in Mishlei that indicates that neshef is ba'erev. And the Gemara now reconciles these two psukim. Elam arava neshef is not erev, and it's not boker, but rather it means kfitza, to jump. Trei nishve hava. There are two different zmanim that are referred to as neshef. One is the beginning of Boker, when Neshef Laila Osi Yamama, that the night jumps and moves away and is replaced by Boker. And then at the beginning of the night, Neshef Neshaf Yamama V'yase Leila, the Yom jumps up and vacates for the replacement of Laila. Now we have a reconciliation of the apparent contradiction between the two psukim. Neshef sometimes will mean Erev, like in the pasuk of Neshef be Erev Yom, and sometimes it would refer to Boker, as it is in Shmuel, Vayakem David Me'a Neshef V'ad Ha'erev. Now we've said over and over again that David would wake up at Chatzos Laila. The pasuk says Chatzos Laila Akum. So the Gemara asks, "V'David mi'avi yoda palga to lele emes? Could David really know how to identify the middle of the night? Chatzos laila hashda. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu lo avi yoda. He didn't know exactly when was chatzos. How would David know when it's chatzos? Now, how do we know that Moshe didn't know when it was chatzos? Mirchsiv, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro before the last of the ten Makas, Makas Bechoros in Shmos Yud Aleph, Ko Amar Hashem, b'chatzos halayla ani yotze b'toch Mitzrayim. And then it says umeis kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim. My kachatzos. Why does he say kachatzos? Why doesn't he say b'chatzos, which would mean exactly at midnight? Ilema diomalei kudshem brichu kachatzos. If Moshe Rabbeinu was just reiterating what he heard from the Almighty, kachatzos, which means we don't know exactly what is chatzos, miika sveika kamishmaya, is there really a suffix up in the heavens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vacillated, didn't know exactly when was chatzos, and if he said kachatzos, elo da HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be that God said to Moshe bachatzos, exactly at chatzos, v'yasa iu, and Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said v'yomer kachatzos, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when is chatzos laila, and therefore he could never prove that the Zman of the Makkah was exactly took place as he had predicted it, because he cannot be sure about the exact moment. Alma Misafkale, you see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu vacillated, he didn't know exactly when was Chatzos. And V'David Aviyoda, could David possibly have been a greater wise person than Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe didn't know when Chatzos, David did know? And the Gemara answers that it's not that David HaMelech was smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu, but David Simon Avile. David had a Simon, as we'll soon see, in order to identify exactly when is Chatzos. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have, he couldn't avail himself of that Simon. The Gemara now brings a statement that indicates the entire Seder Hayom of David HaMelech. And from this, we're going to learn exactly how to know when exactly is Chatzos. The Omer of Acha, Bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon, Chasida, Kinar Ayatoluf, Lamala Mimitoso Shel David. There was a harp that was situated above the bed of David HaMelech, and it had certain openings in it. If you're familiar with a harp, it has those openings, similar to a guitar, for example. And these openings pointed towards the north. And we're going to see that Ruach Tzfonis has a special power. Kevan Shigia Chatzos Laila, Bo Ruach Tzfonis V'Nosheves Bo. The Ruach came from the north and would blow through these holes into the Kinar, and the Kinar would be Menagen Me'elav through this wind that came from the north. It was able on its own to blow sounds, and David would hear the sounds in the Neginas HaKinar Mi'adoya Omed. He knew it was exactly the time to get up from his bed via Osek B'Torah to study the Torah, and he knew that that was Chatzos Ad Sha'ol Amud HaShachar, and he would continue until daybreak. So we see that David has Simon through his Kinar to know exactly how to identify Chatzos. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have such a Simon, and therefore he didn't know exactly when is Chatzos. Rabbi Shimon Chasida continues, Kevin Sha'ol Amud HaShachar, Nichnasu Chachmi Yisrael Etzlo, V'yomru Lo Adonenu HaMelech Amcho Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. Now this statement that we're about to learn of Rabbi Shimon Chasida is going to really reveal to us why David HaMelech actually went out to conquer areas in the north even before he had completely succeeded in getting rid of the seven nations that occupied the land. Because with daybreak, the Chachmei Yisrael came in to David HaMelech, Adonenu HaMelech Amcho Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. The people of Israel are suffering from poverty. Let's say there was drought in the land. Omalem David said, Lechuvis parasu zemizeh. Let the wealthy support the poor people. Omru lo, ein hakomitz masbias ari. There's really not enough funds, even amongst the rich people, to support the poor people. V'ein habar mismali michulyoso. And we cannot We cannot solve the financial straits here from within. Right? The bar cannot be filled with water from within. You have to take water from the outside. Or if you want to fill up the bar, you need offer from the outside. You can't use the offer inside because it's an empty bar. Now's the time to gather together the military forces and go out to battle and to take booty, and with that booty to support the people of Israel. Miyad, immediately they went to the chief of the councils, that's called Yoatzim, Achitofel. They took counsel with Achitofel, and they got his okay, and he told them that there was a good chance if they would organize the army in such a way that they'd be able to enter into enemy territory and take back Biza, that would support the people of Israel. Nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, we have to get the okay, the approval of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin are granted a veto power. Alternatively, Sanhedrin, if they're on board, then David HaMelech would be representing the people who are represented in turn by Sanhedrin, and the entire people would have this would be a national effort to go out to battle. There would be tefilos, sholem b'urim v'tumim. First they have to ask the Urim v'tumim to make sure that they'll be successful in battle. And now the Gemara wants to know, how did Rav Shimon Chasida know that this whole parsha is dealing with David HaMelech going out to battle, and the whole story here about the kinar to wake him up, and after his Torah study, he, with daybreak, the Chachmei Yisrael would come and ask him, which would lead to David agreeing, approving to go out to battle? Where do we see this in the Pasuk? And the Gemara answers that when they appointed David HaMelech as a king, it says, Achrei Achitofel b'noyo ben Yoyada, v'evyasar v'sar tzova l'melech Yoav. So that the beginning of this Eitzah, of this council, came with Achitofel, then with the Sanhedrin, finally with Urim v'Tumim. And this is all going to be derived from this Pasuk at the end of Tanakh and Direi Yomim. And we're going to darshan and take apart this Pasuk, Achitofel zeh Yoetz. His role was that of counsel, advice, how they should go about. He was in charge of military strategy. V'chein hu omer, we see that when Avshalom rebelled against his father, the king, that there were etzos, there were counsels and wise advice that were given by Achitofel Tavshalom. At this point, Achitofel goes off years from the path of David HaMelech. Ve'atzas Achitofel asher yoatz b'yomim ahem kasher yishal b'dvar Elokim. So it means that Achitofel is mentioned at the beginning of this pasuk, and they were Messiahites with Achitofel. And here on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, what it says in the pasuk here in Dvar Yomim, after Achitofel ben Yoav ben Yoyada, that's a reference to Sanhedrin, the highest court of Israel. Ben Yoav ben Yoyada was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And Avyasar was Elu Urim V'tumim. Avyasar is a code word for the Urim V'tumim. David would ask the Urim V'tumim through Avyasar. Avyasar was the Memuna. He was appointed to be the questioner, the one who would question the Urim V'tumim. He would feed the questions of the king to the Urim V'tumim. V'cheinu Omer, and that's the pasuk, U'benaya ben Yoyada al hakresi v'al haplesi. And that's a reference to the Urim V'tumim, which is called the Kresi u'plesi. Now, when the pasuk says U'benayahu ben Yoyada al hakresi, it means kodem, and that means that Benayo ben Yoyada represents the Sanhedrin. As we said before, he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And first, they would ask the Sanhedrin, and then they would ask the Kresi Uplesi, which means the Urim V'tumim. And the reason why the Urim V'tumim are called Kresi Uplesi is going to be explained later on by the Gemara. If you take a look, for example, at Targum Yonason in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof, he explains that Yorim Bekeshes V'kolei Havanim. And initially, after they got Rishus from Sanhedrin, they would then ask the Urim V'tumim, would they be Matzliach? Evyasar that's mentioned in the first pasuk here is really after Benayo, sequentially, meaning first they would ask Benayo, and then Evyasar the Kohen, who would ask the question to the Vitumim. Now it's interesting, all the days of David HaMelech, he would always ask the Vitumim through Evyasar until the Milchama between David and Avshalom. Then he asked the Vitumim through the intermediary of Avyasar, and he didn't get an answer, so he asked from through Tzadok, and he got an answer. And from then on, Avyasar was no longer functioning as the Kohen Gadol. Now the pasuk says, "V'yoav el kol atzava Yisrael u'bnayo ben yoyod al akresi v'al aplesi." Rashi explains what the pasuk is talking about is that even though David declared and communicated to Amsa that he would be appointed at the Sar Tzava to replace Yoav, but once Amsa was killed by Yoav, then Yoav remained in his tafkid. And since the pasuk mentions Yoav, it mentions also the other people who were appointed in the inner circle, the cabinet of the king, and that's Benayo ben Yoyada, who was in charge of the Kresi Uplesi. And as we said before, Benayo ben Yoyada, as that is Sanhedrin, and Evyasar, who would relay the question to the Urim V'Tumim. V'lomad nikra shma kresi uplesi. Now the Gemara addresses the question that we hinted at before. Why does the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis refer to the Urim V'Tumim as kresi uplesi? And the Gemara answers, kresi shekarsin divrehem. Karsin means it's absolutely sharp, cut, definite, it's unchangeable, it's absolute. That describes the words of the Urim V'Tumim. Plesi mufloim b'divreyem, meaning mufloim means something that's miraculous, supernatural. It is stated through Nes Upele. And Rav Yosef finally concludes, V'yacharkach, and then after they went through this entire Seder of Hityatzut, of asking this and asking that, then the Pasuk mentions Sar Tzavol HaMelech Yoav, and Yoav is the commander-in-chief. He's going to lead the military campaign in order to conquer lands, or at least bring booty from those lands. And the Gemara is going to bring a source for what we saw early on Daf Gimel Amid Beis, that the kinar was Toli Me'al Mitoso Shel David, that the harp above his head would wake him up at Chatzos Laila, or even earlier. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Ada, the Amilei of the Say was Rav Yitzchak Brein Rav Idi Maikra. Where do we see in the Pasuk that David HaMelech was awoken by the sounds of this harp? Because it says with regard to David in Tehillim, Perek Nun Zayin, Ura Kvodi, Ura Anevel V'chinar O'ira Shachar. Ura Kvodi means it's not a covet to remain sleeping like it is for other malachim. That's not my covet, says David Melech. Ura, awaken me, Hanevel V'chinar, which are suspended above my bed, and then Ira Shachar, I will, so to speak, wake up the morning, which means that he woke up before the morning. I'm not like other malachim that remain asleep well into the day, into the morning. They don't wake up early. David takes pride in himself that he wakes up early. Now it's interesting that it says here both Nevel v'chinar. Until now we've been discussing Kinar, and now there's Nevel v'chinar. It seems from Rashi that those are one and the same. And the Gemara only mentions Kinar al-Mitas, so it doesn't mention anything about Nevel. So perhaps this Gemara reflects the Shita of a sugyan erechin, and Yushalmi and Sukkah, that Nevel and Chinam are really one and the same.
However, there is a Yerushalmi that seems to indicate that David put Meirashosov both a Nevel and a Chinor. Okay, then we'll stop here, and Emirat Hashem in the next year we'll pick up the statement of Rab Zera, which offers again another answer. How could we reconcile the fact that David HaMelech woke up at Chatzos, and he knew exactly when Chatzos was, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not successfully identify Chatzos?